All right, Michelle, it's boys' night, Cole and Noah.
It sure is, but we have to point out that Maura Tierney got a Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actress.
So, oh, that's nice.
So that's a girl's thing, so congrats to Helen. There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. And it grows, and it grows, and it feeds me like it's never fed me before.
All right, Michelle, this is West Coast Project and our podcast coverage for The Affair, number 211 of 212. So there's one left after this.
Just one left.
So, Michelle, did you start to like anyone you've disliked or dislike anyone you've liked before after this one?
I think I know who you're talking about and why you're asking me that. Max is still slimy, but I appreciated some of the things he was saying. I felt really sorry for Scotty in a way that I haven't before.
Oh, so, I didn't. Scotty's trash.
You didn't?
No, but I really started to like Max. I felt a little sorry for Oscar. He's not such a goof. He's kind of a loser. I felt kind of sorry for him. But mostly, Michelle, I thought, because I'm a fan of The Leftovers.
I watched that. Absolutely.
It made me realize that this is all personal. Like, we attach all of our personal feelings to this stuff. So it's not just Noah, all right? It's not just like the guy in the castle, Kay. Kay's the subject of the book, The Castle.
Right.
It's all of us. We relate our direct struggles, personal, all the internal stuff we go through. That's why we like shows like this. They're so personal. And so we started, I think we really, they've dug up some personal stuff in this episode. I mean, they always have. They always all along have. But some of these people that we've kind of written off as goofs or asses, like Max. Max is just a pompous ass. He's got personal stuff. Oscar.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty cool, though, how you're even saying this, because I don't even know if you're meaning to. It's our own personal stuff and how it makes us feel. But I think that's also what they're showing us in the writing of this show. I really think it's written well for the most part, and I think it's really deep, because I think what they're showing us is that different people view these characters differently based on maybe what they bring up in them.
Right. We need to tap into our own personal catalog of memories and thoughts in order to relate to people like Max and Scotty. And like, for some reason, I have no sympathy for Scotty, and you start to feel a little sorry for him. I really felt strong connection with Max in this one, and Max is, before this, has just been kind of a pompous ass. So yeah, we use our own, but that's why we like these shows, I think, because we relate to them by feelings we've had before.
Sure, sure.
All right, so I guess this is Noah's, we're hearing about Noah's threat to Scotty, told by Cole in court to start out. He says, I'll kill you. He heard Noah say to Scotty, I will kill you.
Well, yeah, when he was at his house. Remember when Noah came to his house and Cole ended up pulling the gun on Noah. I think Cole was just going over that incident.
Yeah, but he's telling the court that Noah said to Scotty, I will kill you.
Well,
he held a gun on him. I know he was threatening to kill him right back. But, and then Cole admits that Noah had an affair with his ex-wife. So there's a lot of places where all this could tip and lean and the pendulum could sway. Cole's mad at Noah for having an affair with Allison. He's threatened his brother, I will kill you. And then Gottlieb gets him to admit that none of the Lockharts like Noah, so any of the Lockharts could have motivation to blackmail Noah or throw him under the bus.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about Noah threatening Scotty, I think, not about himself threatening Scotty, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he Noah was threatening Scotty.
Okay. I thought I heard you.
But it was poor. That. But while Cole was standing there holding a gun on Noah.
I don't think he was holding the gun yet. I think Cole pulled the gun afterwards. But yes, absolutely, sure. But then John asks what Cole feels for Noah. And Cole says he doesn't feel anything. And then John points out that, essentially what Noah did to him, that, you know, he destroyed his family. And he asks if Cole isn't maybe trying to portray Noah this way to get back at him for another incident.
Michelle, will you after this episode, will you revise your estimate of who killed who?
I think I have to.
All right, well, I'll ask you at the end.
Okay.
So it starts out part one. I don't know. I don't think so.
I have a completely different thought plan now. Well, not completely, but kind of. So.
Scotty's too much of a loser to kill anyone, I think. He's just too out of it. Was that your original guess? Scotty got killed. What was your original guess?
Well, I thought Allison did it. But I don't know. I just think they've made that way too obvious. I'll be really surprised and probably a little bit disappointed unless they do it in some way I can't fathom if it ends up being Allison. I don't think it's Allison anymore.
All right, well, part one, Cole. Cole and Luisa are talking, and they're worried about meeting his mother, but yeah. Luisa is, and Cole kind of charms her. But he uses that stupid being cursed again. I don't like that about Cole. He's mentioned this curse thing before.
Oh, I know, and he tells her, he says, don't bring up the fibroids. I mean, like she can't bring up a medical problem because it's going to get her on Cherry's bad side. I didn't love that. And also, did they lighten Luisa's hair? Her hair looked much lighter. Okay. Sorry.
So they stop at the lobster roll. It's ruined. It's in foreclosure. It's just a mess. It's not fixed up at all. Looks like it's been open to the weather and everything.
Right, because Luisa gets a phone call, and she has to take it, and her phone's cutting out up there. So Cole pulls over, and they happen to be going past the lobster roll. And, yeah, it's in disrepair.
So they're talking later in bed about where to live and what to do and at the hotel. And they find out that Cole's mom is the housekeeper. Awkward.
Oh, that was really bad. And what made it worse was we just saw Luisa being nervous about meeting Cherry and everything. And then she walks out of the hotel room wrapped in a blanket because there's no soap to the maid outside. And the maid happens to be Cherry. And you could tell Cole didn't like that at all.
Well, it's probably embarrassing for Cole. Well, it's embarrassing for Cherry. She goes right back to work, though. She's like, oh, you need anything else? Just goes right back to knocking on the doors and going back to work.
I think Cole felt bad, too, though.
I think it's harder for Cole or for Mama to be caught as the housekeeper.
I think it was harder for Cole to see that in his mother. I think with Cherry, I feel like it's almost a see what I have to do because you haven't taken care of me kind of way. And I'm sure that's my projection onto Cherry. I'm sure that has nothing to do with probably what they meant us to feel. But that's how I took that.
Well, they transition right to a scene where later on she's showing pictures to Luisa with Cole there. And we get a huge Luisa clue here, Michelle. She says to Cole, you look just like your father. So somebody looking at that baby and saying, or at least the look on their face, that baby looks like Cole. Cole's one of those guys that makes kids look just like him.
Yep. And his dad did. Yep.
It's the Baratheon trait. So Cherry wants Luisa and Cole to get married in the same place that Cole and Allison got married.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Luisa doesn't like that and just says, it's time for us to make our own memories or something?
Traditions, I think she says. Yeah. Yeah, but, okay. That was that was pretty bad. But Louisa said, Cherry said, I wish we could have held on to the ranch a little bit longer so you and Cole could have gotten married there. And then she looks at Cole in the same spot that she married her husband in 1974. And she looks at Cole and she says, isn't that where you married Allison? He says, yeah. And she says, I'm glad it's gone. And that's pretty, I mean, yeah, Cherry obviously shouldn't say that. And that's...
Yeah, that's pretty brush by Louisa.
Yeah, that was pretty big.
At least she doesn't say "go fuck yourself" like Scotty does.
She doesn't. She doesn't say. Well,
Scotty shows up trashed. He's got a meeting with his investor. Some guy, not Allison. I thought this was going to be. He's on his way to see Allison, but it's some guy. He has a fraction of the money. He needs a bunch more. And Cole says, "Take your fraction of money and go to rehab." And Scotty says, "Go fuck yourself." He doesn't set himself up for much success here with his brother by swearing at him.
No, but he's so hot and cold anyway. I mean, he comes in and he tries to be nice and he spills hot coffee on himself and he, you know, curses and jumps and he's sweaty and he's smiling and he's talking fast. I mean, he is just perfect. Depiction of somebody that's really on some pretty serious drugs.
Yeah, he's a mess. He's falling apart, falling all over himself. So then they meet with Luis's mom and Margaret for this first meeting of Cole and Margaret, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Margaret wants to host the wedding.
Well, yeah, because her housekeeper... Louisa's mother was Louisa's mother. And I think we knew that, maybe, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah, aren't we getting a little coincidental here? That Louisa's mom works for Allison or Helen.
I think we knew that, though. Because
yeah, we knew it, but still, isn't it a little too coincidental?
Well, that was one of the places that Cole met Louisa for the first time. Remember, he drove Bruce home. And Louisa was watching the little boy, and...
Yeah, he almost backed over that little boy.
Right. So I think... I don't know that it's that... It's coincidental, but I don't know that it's that coincidental. But Margaret didn't know who Cole was.
Yeah, she doesn't even know the name.
That he's Lockhart. A Lockhart. Right.
So Margaret says, are you the one that... Did you impregnate my granddaughter or pull a gun on my son-in-law? Like,
yeah.
Which one are you... But she still wants to host the wedding.
Yeah, that's another one. Now, what did you think about the Margaret of this episode, of episode 11?
I don't care for her. I don't know. I don't even care.
I thought that was pretty big of Margaret.
She's trying to get a jab in somewhere, though.
Oh, I didn't think she was. She was shocked. She didn't know he was a Lockhart. She's trying to do something for her worker. She's trying to do something kind for her by paying for and hosting her daughter's wedding. That's a big, big deal. And then she finds out that her daughter's marrying a Lockhart. And it takes her aback for a little bit. But she stops and she thinks about it. And she says that, you know, she wants to do it anyway.
Yeah, all she's got is money, though. That doesn't mean that much to her. I don't know. I think she's got a motive.
I don't know. I kind of took her at face value where she says she understands that that a little forgiveness goes a long way.
Maybe she's bigger than I'm giving her credit for. She might just be grandstanding too. Like, oh, I'll host it. I'll pay for it.
Well, she was saying nobody's there.
Weddings are expensive. It's kind of an odd offer for somebody outside the family just to offer to do it.
Well, but she said that Louisa's mother had worked for her for 30 years, and she's there alone. There's no one in the house. Bruce is gone. Helen's not talking to her. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, they want no part of it. Cole suggests Vegas, then the lobster roll, and then buying the lobster roll. So there's the deal he wants is Scotty plus Cole plus Allison and Louisa working at the lobster roll.
I don't think he wants Scotty. He actually says not Scotty.
Well, that's what's lined up to happen. Yeah, he doesn't want Scotty, but it looks like Scotty's going to be in. But then he lets him back in. That part I didn't understand either. Let him back in too easily. But Luisa seems to settle, right? She's just going to be a waitress at this big business operation. They're all pulling. You can be the waitress, Luisa.
I don't think she's going to be the waitress. I think she's going to be the manager. I think Cole and Allison are set up to be the owner. And
the manager of a club is not an owner.
Yeah, but she's married to the owner, right?
All right. I don't know. It just seems like, and Luisa, you can put out the weekly hourly schedule for everyone.
Oh, but come on. Now, I kind of had to call Luisa on this, too. She says, do we have the money for that? And Cole says, kind of. He talks about the money from the house. And she says, is it enough? And he says, it's about half enough. And she says, no, forget it. I don't want to be in debt to any bank. So she wants to own a restaurant because she said that. But she doesn't want to be in debt to do that.
She's got
to
save her tip jar money.
That's just unheard of.
Well, restaurant's only $1.5 million because we see it at the auction now.
Okay.
It's Cole and Allison and then drunk Scotty. Yeah, Scotty drunk or high or whatever he is very unappealing to watch on this show.
He makes me a nervous wreck to watch him.
He kisses Cole or Allison or both of them. And they tell him he's out. They refuse his money. He calls Allison pathological and says to Cole, I could tell you something that could blow up your life. Not a very good negotiator with threats. Cole punches him and Scotty just breaks down crying. And that's where Cole lets him back in if he cleans up. It's too quick. Too soon.
Yeah, but... I don't even know if Cole means it. Does he mean it, or is that just his way to get Scotty to rehab?
I don't know. That's kind of cruel if he's just faking him to get him into rehab.
I know. I couldn't figure out if I believed Cole, that Cole would actually let him back in, or if Cole was just saying that to get him to rehab, to get him to straighten out his life. I couldn't figure that out, but I agree with you.
So if he gets him to go to rehab and then says, I was just kidding, you're really not in, he's just going to go right back to drugs.
Sure.
Not a good plan.
No.
But Cole asks him what the secret is, and we don't hear Michelle. We just get a break and then part two. So what do you think the secret is? That's the same as asking who killed who.
Oh, we know the secret. He saw the baby. He knows that Allison had his baby. That's the secret, of course. But they showed Scotty closing his eyes. Scotty wasn't going to answer Cole. He's not going to tell him. That's in Scotty's back pocket.
All right, so it's obvious to everybody in the world except for Cole.
Well, Cole hasn't seen Joni.
All right.
But still... Can Cole count? Can he count backward? I mean, if you slept with a girl and 8 months later she had a baby, wouldn't you at least have a conversation?
Like, who are you screwing around when you were screwing around with me?
Maybe, something like that.
Or something like that, yeah. I guess. Guys don't like to count backwards, maybe. I'm Michelle, counting forward, part two, Noah. Yep. The alarm wakes him up at what time? I think it's 4:30, we find out later.
Yeah, really, really early.
Now, this knucklehead has the stupidest office ever designed, Michelle. He gets his coffee, and then he goes into the bathroom to write. You can't find another spot in the house that 4:30 in the morning, you're not going to bother anyone if you're in the living room, right?
Yeah, why not just set up a little corner office in that? I mean, it was a huge living room, right? Or if you have a space that large, why wouldn't you enclose some small corner of it or something so that you could have a place to do that?
And he's got all his post-its and his idea cards and his indexes on the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah, and he even has like a butcher block cover for the sink or whatever with his laptop on it, so everything turns out to be like this desk. And you couldn't leave all that stuff in there with the steam of the bathroom and
everything.
Wasn't
he sitting on the toilet too, typing?
Well, I don't think so. I think he pulled up a chair, but still, on the toilet, that would be terrible.
Well, you don't pull a chair up to a bathroom sink, there's nowhere to put your feet under it.
There isn't. I don't know.
But the book he's writing, it looks like, is good. It's draft of the title, good. Chapter 5. You got nothing in chapter 5 yet. And then he falls asleep there until Allison wakes him up for her shower.
Yep.
And they talk about a date night, or it's hard to have a date night. They can't get any time together because of
their schedules. Allison wants to have a conversation with him. She says, can we talk? And he says, no, I need to finish this. I'm going to meet with Harry. And she says, well, I really kind of need to talk to you. And he said, well, let's have a date night tonight. That'll be fun. You know, and she's trying to have this conversation. She didn't try real hard, but she did try to have this conversation with him.
Well, she's lying about her classes. The biggest sin she's doing is lying about her life to him.
That we know of.
Allison is not, well, maybe she is. She just seems like, she seems sweeter than this person who would lie like this. So maybe it is, maybe she is up to something really nefarious that, I don't know, maybe she is the murderer. All right, Michelle, Noah and editor Harry. Harry gives him all kinds of options how to fix this shitty schedule he has. Just retreat and reorganize. Get some rest. Finish your book. Go somewhere. Go back to that stupid house on the river.
Yeah. Cold Springs. Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to come up with anything to get Noah out of there, but Noah feels very obligated. He's really bogged down with his obligations to both his first set of children and to Allison and Joni and all that. And he's really trying to help Allison get through her MCATs. And, you know, and plus he's teaching and he has students and Joni isn't sleeping through the night. And then he goes into this thing where he says one of his children won't speak to him. And he spends about an hour a day writing her and apologizing. And she won't return the letter.
Whitney.
Yeah, that's who he's talking about. I thought it was interesting that he brought her up there in that way. I mean, he was talking about how everything he's going through and how hard it is to find time to write and to research and to devote to this book. But I still thought that might have something important.
You know, it's funny, Michelle, watching this show and then watching Fargo. It's really easy to take notes for the show because Harry's just obviously wants Noah to keep that money train coming. Go write something. We got to get, if you wait too long, people are going to forget your name and you won't be a popular writer anymore. And my publishing house will lose money. It's pretty clear what Harry wants.
Well, sure.
But when we listen to Fargo conversations and try to discern the meaning between not just the words but the meaning behind them, it seems much more deep and intricate and harder to figure out, but more worth it to like investigate and dig down. There's nothing to dig down here on. Harry's just saying, get your book out, and if you can't get this book out, go back and write another book related to dissent called Ascent.
Yeah, that was
funny. Might be the best thing you can do, and that maybe you're not really an Omar Bradley Paris dude. Your ego is telling you to do that. Just write the pulpy stuff that makes a lot of money. That's the gist of their conversation, right?
It is, but is that really potentially in Noah's worst interest? Or is maybe what's in Harry's and the publishing company's best interest also in Noah's best interest? Because Noah does need to get another book out. He does need to, you know, ride on that wave of fame that he has caught. And the fact that he can't take the time to do, he says he can't even go to Paris to do the research for 15 months. So Harry's telling him that that's not going to work, that everybody's going to forget about him. So yeah, it's obviously in Harry's best interest and the place he works for best interest, but isn't that also in Noah's best interest too?
Maybe, but maybe not.
And I thought
it
was pretty interesting how he brought up that he sees guys do this all the time. They write a book and then they don't want to be pigeonholed, and so they feel like they have something great to offer the world, and people forget about them by the time they get something else out.
And I think Harry's motivation, though, is portrayed here as being for the money that Noah could produce for the publishing company. He doesn't really have Noah's best personal career growth interest. He wants the money that he could generate with another book.
Well, of course. I mean, that's his job. He's not, you know, Noah's life coach. He's
his editor. He's his editor. It's not. He's giving him advice to churn out the next book. That's not really an editor's job. He's just trying to persuade him to do something that will create more revenue for the company.
Well, right, because he was even saying, go do this book. We'll get you here, and we'll get you, you know, some time alone and all that, and Helen can take care of these kids, and Allison can take care of Joni. And he just wants another book, whether it's going to be the Omar Bradley book or another book. He just wants a book. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Well, the Ascent book would probably create more pulp, probably create more money than a good book that took longer to write but was more meaningful to Noah and was more, you know, intellectually challenging. Probably an Omar Bradley book wouldn't sell as well as a pulpy book. He wants the money, I think. Whereas a really good friend of Noah might say, dude, do what you really feel you need to do. I'll support you anyway. Harry's saying, get another book out. That's the best thing to do.
Yeah, but Harry also says, you know, you'll have time to do maybe your opus at some other point. And this, you know, you can also be cranking out a series in the meantime. And Noah's just all offended.
Maybe. I just see Harry seeing dollar signs.
Yeah, you might be right.
So Noah goes to Allison's school now and finds out she's not there. She's dropped out. She's the runaway nurse. Dropped out 7 weeks ago, Michelle.
That was bad.
That's a 7-week lie.
That is really, really bad.
So he can't find her at home. Others, the kids and everybody starts to arrive at home. Still no word from Allison. And then a text. And Noah just gets the what the fuck look on his face. And he goes and meets the texter. We find out it's Oscar.
Oh, I know.
It was a picture, I guess, not a text, right?
Right.
A picture of Cole and Allison at the auction.
Yep.
Oscar's lost the auction and gone off the deep end and started texting people.
Yep.
So I felt bad for Oscar a little bit too here. He's got money problems. His father had heart surgery.
Is that all true?
Probably. I believe it. Why wouldn't you believe it?
I don't know. I just don't remember hearing anything about Oscar's father and heart surgery, and I would have thought we would have heard that before. I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know if it were true or if it were part of Noah's delusion.
You can't have everybody just lying about everything because you wouldn't have no basis to believe anything. I believe it. I think he probably did. I think they're making Oscar into a sympathetic character here.
Maybe. I just thought maybe this was something that Noah heard because he wanted to hear and take Oscar's side, so to speak. I don't know.
Oscar's drinking, Michelle, and what is he drinking? Whiskey.
Yep.
He orders one more for himself and one for Noah. Whiskey again, Michelle. There's whiskey all over this episode, too.
Yep.
Oscar asks Noah, whose money did Allison use to do this? And Noah says, we don't have a joint account. And Oscar can't believe it. He's mad at Noah. You come here, you fall in love with Montauk. And he got a little philosophical himself here.
He calls him tourist.
Yeah, you fall in love with Montauk and its people, but you're just a tourist. And the whole Allison being the wounded bird thing is an act. Gabriel didn't break her heart. She never had a heart.
Yeah, that was some pretty intense words, right?
I think you got to believe Oscar here. If they just made Oscar into a liar, it would be, I don't know, it'd be hard to understand why he's even in here if this is all just a big lie.
Right.
Oscar really feels this way. I think Oscar is telling the truth about his father and his running out money problems and heart surgery.
Okay. He might be. I mean, I was just in the back of my mind, I kind of questioned it because I don't trust Noah. And this is Noah's story. So I guess that's the main reason why.
All right, Michelle, Noah goes now. Next, he goes to Max's looking for Allison.
Okay, this was one of the better scenes of this season.
And Max is drinking. What is he drinking, Michelle?
It looked like whiskey.
Whiskey. He tells Max that Allison's bought the lobster roll with Cole. And Noah asks Max, is she an evil person? So Oscar's planted some thoughts into his head.
And he's planted some seeds for sure.
Noah asks Max, is she an evil person? And Max gets philosophical here. A lot of philosophy on Sunday, Monday night shows now.
Yep.
Max says, haven't you ever been dumped? Sometimes people just go through things and you can't be a part of what they're going through. Pretty yep. sound advice.
Well, yeah, but Max is automatically assuming that Allison's dumped him. Just because, I mean, she was there this morning. Noah can't think that he's obviously been duped, but he hasn't necessarily been dumped, right? And why would you even think you've been dumped after 6 hours?
Well, I think Max is trying to say is sometimes other people have problems, and you can't be always a part of their lives. And maybe sure. that's just what Allison's going through now.
Sure.
And then Max gets mad at Noah. He says, troubles were the scrum of our lives. All you ever do anymore is show up when you're in trouble. Come on, let this settle down and come by and have dinner with me in a couple nights just to have dinner when things are okay. Yeah, he's got a good point there. You can't just always be on somebody's doorstep when you have trouble and need things. You got to be there just to be a friend sometimes.
Sure. But now let me ask you, because Noah, it was his scene last time that we saw Max. When he got in the hot tub with Whitney and the other girl, or was sitting beside the hot tub with Whitney and the other girl at that party, and he showed Max being the biggest jackass possible, right? And now we're seeing Max from Noah being a completely different person. So either Max is really changes his personality, or Noah just tells whatever fits him at the time.
Well, whose POV was it when Noah was in the hot tub? Noah's?
It was Noah's, yeah.
Well, I think Max is just lonely. I believe Max, too, in this.
I completely believe Max in this. But I don't understand why Noah has him looking like a jackass, a big jackass, when he doesn't want him around. And then he has him, you know, acting like this real sympathetic character when he goes to him.
Because that's exactly what Max just said. All you ever do is show up when you're in trouble.
Well,
If Max crosses his path and Noah doesn't need him, he's a pain in the ass. If he needs Max or he needs money or something, Max is somebody he talks to. He's using him.
That's a good point.
And Max is just lonely. I mean, Noah tells him about Allison quitting school, and Max gives him really good advice. Go back to Helen. She loves you. That is probably the best advice to Noah. And Noah tells Max she's with the new guy, the doctor, and Max says, what does she see in him? And Noah picks up on that Max is like cares too much. And he says, you fucked my wife. What a selfish dick. Noah's just a selfish dick, man. All he cares about is what's happened to him.
Oh, I know. I know. He says, you paid me $50,000 to have sex with my wife. And it's like, really? And, I mean, we talked about Max and what Max was doing and why, right? And he did do it to make it easier for Noah and Helen to split because he wanted to be in that position. But I don't know. I just see a big difference in those two things.
Well, I think Oscar and Max are both being honest to Noah. Because if one of them's lying and one of them's not, or they're both lying, it's just not a good story.
I agree.
Max admits, I loved her. I always love her. I love her. I always have loved her. So it's funny, Michelle, because Noah has lost Allison to both Max and Cole. Or at least he feels like he has in the last, 6 hours? He's lost Allison to both Max and Cole.
Okay, how do you mean he's lost Allison to Max? You mean he's lost somebody?
Well, yeah, well, not Allison. He lost Helen to Max and
right.
Allison
okay,
Cole,
yeah,
but didn't, yeah. Yeah, I guess Max didn't have sex with Allison, huh?
You have thought that this whole time.
I keep mixing up Max and Oscar.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, Noah's lost property to Noah, okay. And that's what he thinks of Allison and Helen. Like, I'm losing. He gets all petulant. Like, you screwed my wife.
Yeah, like, so and what? Max points out it was your ex-wife.
Yeah, your ex-wife. So what? She's going to be celibate her whole life because you're not with her?
Well, plus he loved her. I mean, Max, in all of his sliminess, loved Helen. I mean, we can't I believed that. I didn't like the way he went after her. I didn't like the hard-handedness and everything. But I believe that he cared about her. And him telling Noah this, he didn't have to do that.
Well, he supports what you just said by this when he says, I could devote myself to her in a way that you never could, Noah. I fought so hard for anyone who's ever loved me. I fought for every bit of intimacy. So Max is saying, look, dude, I had to fight for every piece of intimacy I ever got, and you got it easy, and you blew it. And Noah is saying to Max, you make money easy, and you know, all you do is, without your money, you're invisible. There's nothing to you.
Yeah, that was pretty cold. Man, that was a cold thing that Noah said to him when he left.
But Max is hurting, man. He's like, what do you have that I don't? He's like stuck. It's a thing guys do. It's like, what do you have that I don't? What does that guy have that I don't have that that girl likes about him? And he's really mystified by this. He doesn't really know the answer to this.
No, he doesn't.
He's not being a wise guy, like, oh, what do you have that I don't have? He's really, it's a sincere question. And Noah just reduces it to, you paid me money to fuck my wife. Without your money, you're invisible. I don't know, man. Guys are just, these guys are mysteries to themselves. Noah's a mystery to himself, and Max, too. And me, you know, guys are like that. We're mysteries sometimes. What do you have that I don't have? Why don't I have it? You know, we don't know what it is that we don't have. It's crazy.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
So Noah drives home, and he envisions this whole night in question from the trial, or some. I guess the ending to his book, really.
Yeah, it's the book, because the trial hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
So Book Allison appears, and he Book kills her, runs into her, runs her down, and the phone ringing snaps him back into reality. What'd you think about that, Michelle, him running over Allison, like almost purposely stepped on the gas harder?
Yeah, well, that's what he did in the book, I think. But, yeah, I almost felt like Noah lost touch for a minute, and they kept showing us the stuff. Remember, he was driving past that boat that's on the side of the road that we've seen for two seasons now, that has the stuff planted in it. And then that's where he hit Allison, and that's where something happened, and we saw it before. I can't remember, but it was almost like he was losing touch.
Yeah, he ran off the road there, and the AAA guy helped him. And they made a point of pointing out the AAA guy. Well, call me again if you ever need any help. Like
that's what it was, yeah.
Like they would. That was like the very first episode of season one, I think, or yeah, one or two. Yeah, that's bad that he envisions running into Allison like that and kind of revels in it.
Yeah, yeah, like you know, pushing his foot down on the gas and stuff. It makes me, I don't know. It just seems so. I don't know, out of touch. He just seemed like he wasn't, like he was reliving the book, but it was almost like he had a hallucination of it or something.
So he shows up at the lobster roll and meets Allison. There's storm sounds in the background audio, if you might have noticed, which is pretty telling that they're about to go into the storm in their relationship. So she admits to buying this place, the lobster roll. And tells him, this is what I want to do. Cole and I are going to be business partners. And Noah gets all petulant again without asking me first. I mean, I could see why he needs to be asked first or talked to first. But he's petulant. He's like a little kid. I see why your first marriage fell apart.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's really throwing some zingers at these people that have, you know, that love him.
And Allison says, I tried to talk to you, the whole bathroom office thing.
Okay, but yeah. You couldn't. No, come on. Come on, Allison. That's weak. That's weak.
Yeah. Yeah, she's being
deceptive.
Shitty, too. And then Noah says, you're different, but this won't work if you don't communicate. I don't know. I think Noah at this point has been pretty primed by both Oscar and Max. And he doesn't have ears for Allison. He's just ready to go off on her. But she's got a point, even if she's doing it in a shitty way. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. And Noah tries to steer her back into school.
Okay, yeah. But now, come on. Let's talk about this for just a minute. She says that Cole called her last night and she hadn't had any other opportunity to talk to Noah except this morning, and he wouldn't talk to her. Okay, so this is what she wants to do. She's taken all of this money that she's had sitting now for, you know, over a year, because Joni's over a year and she was pregnant when she was telling Athena that the house was in escrow. So this money that's been sitting there, this is what she suddenly decides she wants to do. So now she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is what she wants out of her life. And, you know, we've talked about this before, how what chaos Allison and Noah have caused to the people around them. And now Allison's causing that same chaos to Noah. Noah has bought this house, this apartment, condo, whatever it is, to be close to his kids. He's gotten half custody of his kids, and she's not even going to tell him before she does. I mean, even if she doesn't, I didn't like that you didn't ask me. I mean, really, I have to ask you before I can spend my own money? I don't like that. But she didn't even tell him, this is what I want to do, because they, the things that they need to, as she's smiling and trying to be all coy and cute, I was hoping we could work it out together. You know, we'll work it out together before you go buy it, because Noah has rearranged his whole life to fit her in. And look, I'm not taking up for Noah. I think we all know how I feel about Noah. But he has rearranged his whole life for her. And it's not just him. It's his children.
And she's making a $1.5 million decision in hours of one morning without talking to him. But still, Noah's point should be, we need to talk about this, not if you love me, don't do this. Back out
of it. Oh, I know.
That's
yeah.
stupid. That's as stupid as Allison not talking to him. Giving her the ultimatum, back out of it if you really love me. He's just selfish. She's wrong for not telling him, you know. Who was it? We just talked about it. It was Hank. Hank in Fargo. What's Hank's last name? But he says all the problems in the world are because of language, and people say things that aren't right. heard the way that they're intended.
Miscommunication. Yeah. Solve everything.
Hank Larson, I think.
Larson, yeah.
But anyway, so they needed Hank's little alphabet there. But Allison, when he says, if you love me, don't do this, back out. She says, it's already done, bitch. You're restaurateur now.
I heard says, bitch, too. I heard that.
Yeah. Allison says, are you fucking him again? So this is a real productive conversation. And Noah says, are you fucking him again? And Allison says, no, you have to trust me. Being a doctor's not. Instead of being mad at him and saying, fuck you, dude, you can't talk to me like that.
No, she's like, no, do you believe me?
Yeah, you're lucky. You know what you want to do in life. I miss my home. This is who I am, a girl from Montauk. Come on, Noah.
Okay, and you know, and I mean, I even get all that, but make these freaking decisions before you disrupt everybody's life, including those kids. I mean, everybody's just being like whipped around on the end of her, on the end of her dreams, whatever they happen to be at the moment. They're being whipped back and forth, and it's unfair. It started with Cole, now it's Noah, it's extending to his children, Helen. I mean, it's crazy. Even so, Oscar.
Allison says, I don't know. I hope we could figure it out together. Can we? And that kind of ends there.
Yep.
All right, Michelle. So this one's going to end up in the courtroom. Gottlieb and the other lawyer approach the judge, and the other lawyer wants to amend her witness list. There's a secret new witness with new info about Noah's car. Shocking reveal. It's
Max. It's not a mechanic.
So Max says, I heard a car, then the lights went off, and I saw Noah's car at my vacation residence. He didn't know I was home, and he was washing off the blood, human blood. No, actually, he just says, I found blood on the ground.
Right.
So it could have been a deer. Could have been any kind of blood. But Max, jumping on the other side here, why do you think Max was so, maybe he's just being honest, I guess, huh?
Well,
but it looks like he's a last-minute witness, like he jumped up and said, I know something about this I could offer.
Well, that's what she actually said. The prosecutor said he came forward at the last minute, and that's why she hadn't.
What's motivating Max?
I don't know. See, I don't know what's motivating him, because we could say that interaction that he just had with Noah, but some time passes, right, in between that interaction and this trial.
Yeah, I don't know how much time.
Well, I mean, it has to be some time, although Joni doesn't look like she's much over a year old. But, I mean, you know, there's time. There's time between going to be interviewed with a detective. Because remember all that? That was like a big part of season one, was Noah and the detective talking. And we didn't even know what Noah was doing and all that stuff. And I don't know. There's time between him being interviewed and him being arrested, and then all the judicial process going on, and then him coming to trial. I mean, there's some significant time in there. And so I don't know what's happened in between that would have made Max feel that way.
Well, something, Michelle, has made that happen, and there's only one episode left. That was 211 of The Affair. There's only 212 next week.
And we're promised that we're going to find out Scotty's killer in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read it somewhere. Okay. I think it's looking way... I mean, they've just made it look too much Allison-y. Now, we know John's not going to use the evidence on Joni unless he has to. And I don't know what that's going to blow up if he does.
Joni's the killer?
No, I don't think it was Joni. But I do... I'm starting to lean toward Whitney. And I know that just seems unreasonable at this point, but I think with Noah bringing her up to Harry and about how she hasn't spoke to him in a year and all that, I'm thinking maybe Whitney does something and then calls her dad and says, "Help me, I need your help." And so he goes to her, and then he takes care of it from there.
Don't you think this passion between Scotty and Whitney has cooled off after a year? Who the hell cares after a year? I mean, people get broken up on and dumped, and they get heartbroken. But a year, you kind of cool off on it.
Well, see, they're not showing us anything about Whitney, so I don't know.
She's making out with chicks in hot tubs. What do you mean they're not showing us anything?
Well, that was a year ago. What's she doing now?
That was after Scotty, though, wasn't it?
It was after Scotty, but she was still saying how she loved Scotty. I mean, this was just a little bit after she had, you know, went there for, what was it, Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner? I can't remember. A dinner. And so it hadn't been that long. And she was still saying, you know, she was still after Scotty. And this was a long time later. And
yeah,
I
don't like that. I think these writers are too good to have a passionate action like that a year after a breakup.
I don't think Noah would take the fall for Allison. Not after everything he's heard. I just don't think he would. But I think he would take the fall, or not take the fall, but at least take the potential for the fall for his daughter. I could be wrong.
Noah killed Scotty.
I think Whitney might have killed Scotty, and then Noah came and cleaned off the car at Max's house. And I also think that might be why Helen is so willing to fund all this, even if she has to sell her own stuff. That would explain a lot about Helen's willingness.
Because she knows everything?
Because she knows it was, well, you know Whitney's going to tell her. I mean, she was like, "I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant."
I just don't like Whitney being this passionate so much time later. But I guess, well, I don't like anybody being passionate about Scotty. I guess it's like, why is he even worth the trouble?
Yeah, I mean, young girls can get really fixated. I mean, all people can, not just young girls. What am I saying? But a person can get really fixated on another person, and... you know, I mean, obviously this is craziness, but I don't see it as being, you know, too far out that I wouldn't buy it if she were still nuts over him.
Maybe. I don't know. She seems too far removed on the periphery to be angry after a year. And then all these other people, unless they're all just setting us up to make to fake us out, that it's not those other people.
I agree. But at the same time, don't you think, I mean, do you think Noah would go through this if he knew it were Allison?
I think Luis is mad about being a waitress in a $1.5 million restaurant.
Luis is not the waitress. She's married to the owner. She's married to the owner.
She's going to have a crappy waitress job.
No, I don't think so.
While Allison and Cole sit in the big room up in the, like Steve Buscemi did in Boardwalk Empire, looking down through the window on everybody.
Oh, is that what it was? Cole was buying it for Louisa. When he saw it, he thought about her, and he even asked her in bed. He said, "What kind of place would you want?" And she said, "I just want a place, just something not fancy that means something to people." And of course, they've shown us time and again how much this means to Cole, and it means to Allison, it means to Oscar. I mean, it means something. This is where Allison and Noah met. I mean, this place has pretty big significance.
Yeah, but I'm starting to lose steam on who I care killed Scotty, if I ever had any. I don't really care. I'm curious.
Oh, I care, and I feel bad for Scotty now.
Well, he's dead. And he's better. He's better off.
Okay.
He's seen the angels of the children. Faces of the children.
Wrong podcast. That one. Not
I'm Michelle. That's it for 211. 212 next week, we'll see the answers to all these important questions.
Yep.
Got anything else before we say goodnight? How about a Twitter handle?
Yeah, we got one of those. At Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets, and this is The Affair on West Coast Project. So until 212, Michelle.
Until then.
Don't lose sleep over who did this stupid crime.
I'm just glad we get to find out.
And keep your Waterford glasses safe on the counter.
Yeah, really. Glue those things down or something. Give them a straw.
All right, Michelle. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. And all the misery. You were an easy one. How did we get here? We took the slow way. Oh, do you love me? What am I supposed to say? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
This, probably. How about you?
I've done a lot of things.
We fell into the night. Sometimes the way you love somebody, it can change.
I don't want her anywhere near my kids.
Your mom and I, we're getting a divorce.
Why?
That's very complicated. How have you been, Allison?
I don't think you should be here. I think you should leave. Tell me
how
I
sleep. Hallam, what's going on? This is insane.
Why are you being so awful?
I just thought maybe I could come up here and bring you your stuff and maybe clear the air.
You have a family.
I know I did. Stop it!
I think we're making a terrible mistake.
Don't say that. Other people's lives are at stake here besides your own!
I want nothing from him.
At a certain point, fate takes over a story. And even the author himself loses control.
I didn't kill Scott Lockhart. Well, we gotta find out who did.